I want to start off with a story of two guys who have recently been fired from their radio job. Now, you may not have heard of these guys because they were on XM radio and got fired back in June after being on the air, I think, only for a couple of months. They were on a channel that was aimed at a black audience, and they decided to do a show on June 23rd, an entire show aimed at debunking urban legends in the black community. And one of those urban legends had to do with something called Memorandum 46. After doing this show on the air, it's my understanding that the management of that channel, the programmers of that channel at XM, were so unhappy about them doing that show that they were fired. Now, before I bring them on here, here's what's ironic to me is satellite radio was supposed to be the new frontier, where you could do all sorts of things, where Howard Stern and Opie and Anthony and all these guys who were too restricted by terrestrial radio, they would finally have a place where they could do whatever they wanted. That's it. Satellite radio. People are paying for it, so the marketplace is a different marketplace, and no one could possibly put constraints on the people on the air. Except, of course, the people in the suits and ties in the other room who decide, well, that's not what we want on the air, which is exactly, by the way it works in terrestrial radio. I can tell you, having had to go to a few meetings myself. So let me introduce you to these guys. One of them is Casey Lartig, Jr. Casey, welcome to KMOX.
Hey, thanks a lot for inviting me.
It's my pleasure. And your partner is Elliot Morgan. Hi, Elliot. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Did I pretty much set up the situation correctly here?
Yeah, you did. We're famous for being fired.
Okay.
Pretty good.
Tell me a little bit first about what Memorandum 46 was, this controversial government conspiracy theory that had been out there for a while, right?
Yeah, it was allegedly written back in 1978 by Jimmy Carter's national security advisor, Zbigniew Brzezinski. And it's one of these things that it's been passed around by black activists, talk show hosts, and politicians. And it's constantly like, you know, someone would talk about some problem that's going on in society and how blacks are being targeted in particular. And then it's like, you know, they kind of pull them to the side, hey, brother, have you heard about this? You know, there's this big plan that the government has that supersedes all the other plans that are out there. And it's this Memorandum 46.
Now, Carol, had you ever heard of Memorandum 46?
Parts of it, but not under that heading. People will take out bits and pieces of it and forward those parts of it to around the country, really.
So it's interesting that this started in 1978. We did not have the internet in 1978, but I'm going to guess that in the last 5 to 7 years, when email has become an essential part of everybody's life and people love forwarding things to the 250 people on their mailing list who then forward it to the 250 people on their mailing list, everyone's address book started getting full of these things in the black community. Is that right, Casey?
Yeah. Well, what happened is that this thing got new life back in 1999. There was a conspiracy theorist named Boyd Graves. He cited this document in a case against the government in which he was saying that AIDS had been created to reduce or eliminate the black population. And after that, people did begin to pass it around. You even had like Cynthia McKinney down in Georgia, who tried to give it to the United Nations as proof that blacks were being harmed within the country. You had a couple of other black politicians who also, you know, started to talk about this thing. But again, mainly it was just, as you said, just passed around an email and activists just telling each other about it.
Elliot, had you heard about this thing and wondered whether it was true, or was this something that was kind of taken as the gospel?
Well, first of all, I didn't wonder for a moment if it was true. It sounded stupid to me right off the bat. No, Casey actually saw this memorandum. And I was on vacation, and in late May, he says, you've got to read this thing. When I read it, I just started laughing, because I grew up with this. I grew up on the south side of Chicago. I can smell one of these stories like a mile off. It's silly. Most of these urban legends are designed to make people comfortable in some way with unpleasant facts. It's a way to try to explain a complex world. And when I saw it, I knew what they were saying. I knew what the goal was. But do I believe that the principal negotiator of SALT II took time out to write a memorandum about inner-city blacks and separating them from African, not African Americans, but Africans in Africa? No, I didn't believe it for a moment.
Yeah, the interesting thing to me, and I read the memo, which is available online, I looked through this thing. The one thing that jumped right out at me is that Zbigniew Brzezinski, who was then the National Security Advisor to President Jimmy Carter, if this memo were real, he doesn't know how to spell his own name.
Yeah, he noticed that too.
Yes,
kind of funny.
Yes, I do.
Well, the problem also with him not just knowing not knowing how to spell his own name, anyone familiar with the formats of government and how memos are sent, you don't send something to the Pentagon. That was a CC. I mean, who at the Pentagon? Well, that makes no sense. It never made sense on any level. So, no, I didn't take it very seriously, and I didn't believe it, but I do love debunking silly theories, and Casey and I immediately went after it.
All right, it's News Talk 1120 KMOX. Paul Harris talking with Casey Lartig and Elliot Morgan, who were fired from XM Radio a couple of months ago for doing an expose, debunking, if you will, of this alleged memorandum written inside the highest levels of our government in 1978 that it was essentially a plan for how we handle black people in America and how we handle black Africa as well. So now take us to the point where after you two had shared this, Casey, you decided to do a show on it, but you needed to have something that would help you in your debunking of this legend, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because now, actually, Ellie and I, we had a bit of a disagreement about this because, he just said, hey, this is just ridiculous. Let's not even bother with it. And I was saying, well, at least let's just find some stuff related to this. So we went on ahead and did a little research about it. We had the first show where we just mentioned in passing that we had contacted Zbigniew Brzezinski, that he had denied having anything to do with this and that such a memorandum existed. But it wasn't a big thing. We just kind of mentioned it in passing. A couple of weeks later, we decided to, let's have a second show where we just take this thing on, as well as some other urban legends that we've talked about over the years. And so we had that show on June 23rd, and man, was it a great show. So we talked about a couple of other urban legends, such as that the first president was a black man.
Now, I never heard that one. Did you ever hear that?
No, I never heard that. Tell me that legend.
Well, that one is a gentleman named John Hanson, who was actually one of the presidents of the First Continental Congress, but it was a white guy.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, there was a second John Hanson who lived during the 19th century in Liberia, who was a senator there who was, bringing slaves from America to Liberia so they could be free. These two people somehow became one guy.
Hmm.
Yeah. There's some interesting things about it. There are a couple of websites where this thing is posted. And one thing that Elliot pointed out to me is that there's a photo of this guy. Now, we're talking 18th century. And I don't know how, somehow they forgot to take photos of George Washington or any of the other founding fathers, but they remembered this one guy.
Yeah, but besides the fact that it was long before you could go to Walgreens and get the thing developed.
Exactly.
Photos in the 18th century, that's a great point. Okay, that's right. So that's one of the legends that you debunked.
Right. And then we looked at a couple of others, such as the idea that companies are injecting their food with chemicals to make black men go sterile. Kentucky Fried Chicken, Popeyes, Church's Chicken have all been hit with this rumor over the years.
And did people...
I grew up with this rumor.
You grew up with it, Elliot?
Oh, yeah, same here.
But this one is on the heels of very real issues. I'm sure callers were they defending? I should ask the question.
Oh, were they defending? Well, you know what? Something interesting happened on the show that day and has happened since on the station. And that's that we've had people be much more careful with the things they say. So they stopped with just the kind of just throwing around accusations, and then they started to say, well, I can't prove this, but, and then they just go on and say the foolishness anyway.
Now, we do know that the government of the United States has done some stupid things
Horrific, I would say.
In its history, and absolutely horrific could be applied to some of them. And some of them were involving black Americans. I mean, Tuskegee.
Right. That's what I'm talking about, that people may believe Kentucky Fried Chicken because of Tuskegee.
So there have been instances, and there continue to be instances, where the government says one thing and does another, and then we don't find out until later on that what they were doing was you know, kind of evil.
Right.
So you looked into some of these things, and you debunked the KFC story.
Yeah. Well, see, I just want to back up one second. The thing is, we said on the show, as well as in an article that we wrote in the Washington Post about all this, that yes, these things have happened. Now, just because something else has happened doesn't prove your case.
Right.
In this particular example. And see, for me, this Memorandum 46 is so much more delicious for the activists than something like COINTELPRO, which targeted a number of groups, because Memorandum 46 is they're after us. And only us.
Also, COINTELPRO is portrayed on black radio as something that was only targeted at black people.
And what was COINTELPRO for people who don't know?
Right. Well, that was the government's surveillance program of groups that were thought to be subversive. And it included,
mostly communist groups.
Yeah.
They went after everyone from the Southern Christian Leadership Council to the Ku Klux Klan.
But they also went after anti-war groups in the 60s, civil rights groups in the 60s, feminist groups in the 60s and 70s. It was an ongoing program, mostly under J. Edgar Hoover's FBI.
Yep, exactly. Now, I think I can speak for Elliot in saying that both of us have been kind of surprised by saying that this one thing is not true. That then we look like we're lackeys for the government. I don't think there can be a bigger critic of the government than either one of us. So it's just kind of strange that, well, you know, we're saying this is not true, but it doesn't mean we're saying that all the other stuff did not happen.
Yeah, I was thinking actually of picking up. I saw a book some years ago titled "How I Accidentally Joined the Vast White Ring Conspiracy."
Mm-hmm.
I think I should take a look at that book now.
Because you're accused of being a part of it. You might as well see what you did. Guys, let me take a commercial break here. I don't know if you had those on XM, but we have them on KMOX. And we'll come back and we'll talk. And I want to find out what happened when you went on the air with the Memo 46 stuff, and then what the reaction was from the management of that channel at XM and from your listeners and others as well. Kaysler Tigg and Elliot Morgan here on The Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX. I'm Paul Harris in the studio with Carol Daniel and Kevin Wheeler, and on the phone with Kaysler Tigg and Elliot Morgan. These two guys were hosts of a show on one of XM Radio's channels, a channel that was targeted to a black audience. They got fired when they did a show back in June in which they debunked the semi-famous Memorandum 46, which was supposedly written by Zbigniew Brzezinski when he was the National Security Advisor to President Jimmy Carter. It was a multi-page memo that allegedly was about how the government could essentially keep the black community off balance in this country. Let me just read you a couple of the recommendations. One, specific steps should be taken with the help of appropriate government agencies to inhibit coordinated activity of the black movement in the United States. Two, special clandestine operations should be launched by the CIA to generate mistrust and hostility in American and world opinion against joint activity of the two forces and to cause division among black African radical national groups and their leaders.
That's a mouthful.
And it goes on to include the FBI and others. So Casey and Elliot talked about this on their show, actually got in touch with Zbigniew Brzezinski, who denied ever writing anything like this. But they took it another step and went to other people who might know something about this and dug up some paperwork on it. And you guys found no evidence that this was real, right, Casey?
Exactly. Not a single thing. And in many ways, it's like we went to a preschool and announced that Santa didn't exist and that we had a PowerPoint presentation to help undermine his existence. And the response that we got on the show, I think pretty much the listeners were not happy with us, and they were as concerned as, you know, I'll tell you a little later about the management response, but the listeners were concerned that we were undermining another host.
Another host, and that would be who?
Joe Madison, who's the lead host on XM 169.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they were concerned that we were undermining him. So they weren't concerned about the truth. They weren't concerned about if this memorandum was real or not. but yeah. they were more concerned about, you know, Joe Madison's reputation.
Now, I know a little about Joe's reputation because I used to work in Washington, D.C., and I think it's safe to say that Joe, well, I was going to say Joe is, but I think it's better to say Joe frames himself as a leading black activist.
Oh, yes. In fact, yes, he says that he's an activist with the talk show.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that his reputation in his mind is much greater than his reputation in the rest of the world.
Okay.
But you guys couldn't say that, so I said it for you.
Okay.
So
I can say it now.
So Elliot, what kind of reaction were listeners telling you, particularly if they listened to Joe on that channel on XM and they also heard you? Here were two voices that were at odds with each other. Was that not permitted in the listener's mind?
No, and one of the things that has to be focused on here is in the black world, and that's what I call it, it's a separate space that's occupied by, the people that live in it are hell-bent on unity, and unity is the most important thing. So it has nothing to do with truth. Truth, of course, goes by the wayside when you're trying to make a united front. And that's the most important thing that you could possibly have in the black community. If you listen to black talk radio, the largest and the most profound and the most unrelenting complaint is always, we are not unified. We need to get together and, in the case of Memorandum 46, cooperate with Africans. In the case of other urban legends, we should be suspicious of government. Well, great, I'm suspicious of government too, but I don't need to make up a story to be suspicious of government. Government has already done enough that I'm suspicious of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's enough real stuff to be suspicious of without somebody making stuff up, right?
Now, the problem is also in the article, I mean, this happens, you know, during the editing process all the time. There are things that you'd like to say, but you can't say. One of the things that was actually said in the article, and I said, you know, from the Scottsboro Boys, it wasn't till Tuskegee. It was from the Scottsboro Boys to the Duke Lacrosse rape case. I said, the government has at times proven we can't trust what it has to say. Now, I thought it was a very different thing to change it to the situation with the Tuskegee Boys, because what happened was we made distrust of government a color thing, and it's not. You can be white and rich in this country, and the government can still be a terrifying force.
Right. And the Duke case is not the government. That was a guy who was a prosecutor who was incompetent and overzealous. That's different from a government conspiracy, which usually, by the way, means the federal government, which means people at the top levels of our government deciding to get together and screw you.
Oh, sure. But again, on Black Talk Radio, if you have a plan against, if you don't like your black neighbor and you're white and you have a job at the post office, that qualifies enough for you to be a member of the government, and that you're part of a system and a plan.
Wow. Okay, so Casey, you did the show on the air. You had that reaction from listeners. Is it safe to say they were vehemently upset with you?
Yeah. You know, I guess I should have mentioned that we'd had a little negative feedback before then also. We did a show on May 19th, the 82nd birthday, would have been the 82nd birthday of Malcolm X. And we asked the question, what did Malcolm X do? Now, that show, the phone lines were absolutely burning up. Now, remember, we had a Saturday morning, 8 a.m. show. The phone lines were burning up, all eight lines for all 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And we got, you know, we started hearing stuff that, you know, people were really upset with the things we were doing, that there were calls to the station about us. And so there'd already been a little negative feedback from the audience. People were already accusing us of engaging in counterintelligence, I guess of being government agents and all that. So when we got to this show, we'd already had that kind of negative feedback, in addition to some people saying, finally, wow, a breath of fresh air, something different than just all the conspiratorial talk that we get so often. Well, after we did the show, the program director called me up the following Monday morning and just absolutely berated me. Within the first minute, he told me he was 2 seconds away from pulling the show off the air, that he was just really upset with what we had done, that we might have to take a couple of weeks off, and that we didn't deserve to be on the air. And let me make it clear, I'm talking XM 169. XM, as an overall, you know, entity, you know, didn't have anything to do with this. This was with the management of XM 169.
The channel that you were on.
The channel that we were on. Now, we there were two main charges against us. The first one was that, and we were being charged, by the way. I mean, being accused. The first thing is that we cannot undermine other hosts. Apparently, even if they're liars, even if they're spreading propaganda, you know, we cannot undermine other hosts.
That's that unity thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, and the thing is, because obviously I'm here local. Elliot is in Massachusetts. I said, fine. You know, if that's the policy, if that's the etiquette, whatever way you want to phrase it, I'm fine with that. We won't even mention the other hosts. We won't, however, stop talking about the things we want to talk about.
Because, I would say that most radio stations, a lot of radio stations may have sort of the same etiquette, unwritten thing.
You can disagree with the other people on the air, just don't call them out.
Yeah,
right,
absolutely.
Exactly. So when he said that, I was like, fine, okay, now, okay, that's fine. Now, the second thing is, he didn't stop there, we were wrong. We didn't know what we were talking about. We were in over our heads about all of this. And that's where I said, actually, no. You don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But the thing is, we tried to leave it open that obviously if someone has some other information, that we were building a timeline related to this and trying to figure out exactly where's the evidence that this thing is true. So we're open to that, but that was not forthcoming.
We're talking with Casey Lartigue and Elliot Morgan, two guys who hosted a show on XM Channel 169, a channel that targets the black audience in America. Its star is a guy by the name of Joe Madison, who fancies himself a big black activist in this country. I think the fact that you've never heard of him probably says everything you need to know about that. But in the black community, maybe he has a higher profile that we're just not aware of. But what these guys did was they debunked a government conspiracy theory that's gone around in the black community for several years now about a memo supposedly written by Zbigniew Brzezinski when he was the national security advisor to President Jimmy Carter in 1978. And after doing that, they felt the tidewaters of controversy swarm over them and were called into the program director's office or called by the program director on Monday. And he essentially read them the Riot Act, and then what happened, Casey?
Yeah, okay. What happened is, first of all, he read me the Riot Act over the phone, and then we met face-to-face the following day and just reiterated the same things and just ended up just pulling the show off the air. So it was not a polite conversation because, you know, after a point, I'm not just going to take some guy telling me I don't know what I'm talking about when he was completely unfamiliar with the memorandum.
He's calling you a liar when he won't accept the truth.
Yeah, well, you know, as I said, like, I went there with my little PowerPoint presentation. I went there with the documents and trying to show it to him, and he, everything I'm citing is part of the conspiracy.
And, Elliot, was it your impression that the reason you were fired was because you wouldn't hew to the company line or you wouldn't hew to what was supposed to be what that audience supposedly wanted to hear?
Well, right. What that audience is supposed to hear has already been determined by management. And the people that are out there listening go there for a particular comfort level. They know that they're not going to be challenged. And they know that if you have something negative to say about Americans, it will be white Americans in particular. And we've made our peace with it. I mean, sometimes, you know, you have to say, look, you know, he's my brother and he's heavy. Okay, so this is the situation that we were in. It's what we were living with, and unfortunately, it never let up. There were people, to be fair now, and I think it's important to note, that there were people that hated us in the beginning, that started to write us and started to call in and say, I finally get it. Mm. Thank you.
Oh,
for
yeah.
not spending 5, 20 minutes, 2 hours condescending to me. But,
so is the real problem to you guys or the real shame that the audience buys anything like that or that a management who, as you said, knew nothing about this memorandum is perpetuating something that's awfully damaging?
That's a good word, perpetuating.
Yeah. In fact, one of the things the thing is we had 9 shows. That's it. I mean,
wow.
That's not a lot of shows. We had 9 shows. And the thing is, so we don't know about the ratings or anything, and I was asking about that kind of thing. And if he had come to me and told me that we're going to let you go because your ratings are bad, that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But instead that he's upset about the things that we said about this fake document. That to me was the disturbing part. Now, the listeners, it's a self-selected group. And again, like Elliot pointed out, some started to warm up to us at the end. But the fact that management was willing to intervene and basically defend this phony document is the big concern to me.
And continue to perpetuate the lie. So Elliot, I've only got a minute before I got to let you guys go here. Sure. Any job offers come in since then?
Not for me. Casey's looking at some things, but...
You guys should call Sirius before the merger.
Good point. Well, so far, I've been invited to speak to the National Capital Area Skeptics Group, so now we're experts on this topic. University of Maryland, their Political Science and Black Studies Department, they're asking me to come speak. And we've gotten a couple of feelers, but nothing definite yet.
Well, if you do go speak to them, say hi to Chip Denman, an old friend of mine from the Skeptics Group there.
Okay.
I hope that you guys do continue to have a voice, whether it's on the air or off the air, for truth, because I think that's one of the things that this country always needs, particularly when it comes to stories that are being told, whether it's in one community or another or in the national media or wherever it may be. The truth, is where power comes from. And I know you guys are familiar with the phrase information is power, because it goes back to the people who started that channel back in the old days.
Yeah.
There is some truth to that. Information is power, but only if it's the correct information.
That's right. This information is not power.
Yeah. Yeah. If it's politically correct information or pandering information, then that's not power. That's whatever the opposite of power is.
And the truth will set you free. It's probably the best one of all there.
Yeah. Unfortunately, XM set these guys free. And so, end of the story for now, but not forever. Thank you for your time today, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Casey Lertig and Elliot Morgan here on The Paul Harris Show. Unbelievable. This is News Talk 1120 KMOX.